The U.S. military and the Obama administration have worked hard to minimize public awareness of the controversial drone program. But this past week, two leading human rights organizations published reports that raise some very serious concerns. Reading the work of Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch investigators is less of a revelation. Absolute accuracy in remotely guided drone attacks has never been a credible claim, no matter how often it's been repeated. And actually, it's been more of a direct challenge to our collective conscience as a nation. So how do we justify the loss of innocent lives when we are so insulated from being splashed with the blood of the victims? What mandate do people of faith have to act in the face of these revelations? And how counterproductive are these actions when the stated goal is to combat terrorism? Joining me right now, though, is Dr. Glenn Stassen, a highly respected ethicist and theologian and activist, a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary in California, and I'm grateful to be able to say that he's a dear friend who knows answers to these questions, and he's willing to share them. Glenn, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks so much, Wilson, for getting me on.
Looking at both of these reports, the authors admit the difficulty of gathering accurate statistics. What's undeniable, however, is that the drone attacks are happening and our government is evading accountability to its citizens for deaths being perpetrated in our name. So would you start by talking about that disconnect?
Yeah, see, the problem is that since we never get reports on what attacks happened, who was attacked, who was killed, we can't do the role of the conscience of the nation saying, is this right or is this wrong? It's going on in a vacuum without our knowing, so it doesn't have the checks and balances that are built into our constitutional system.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, the government has never published what are their policies. You know, what are the limits? Whom do they attack? Whom do they not? There is a policy there, we're told, but the people don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, there's this vacuum, this lack of checks and balances, which is essential to our democratic system.
What about the inherent disconnect of remote control killing machines deployed over a faraway land?
Yeah, they can't really see for sure whom they're killing. So what these two new reports are pointing out is, I mean, for example, in one case, they targeted a grandmother who was out gathering some vegetables surrounded by her little grandchildren. You know, obviously that's not a terrorist target, and they can't be sure whom they're hitting looking from thousands and thousands of miles through these drones.
You have done so much work on not only peacemaking in general, but on the just war theory and related ethical issues. I'd be very interested to hear the questions that you find yourself asking about this whole drone strategy.
Well, you see, my specialty, Welton, actually is I've led the scholars who've developed a new paradigm called just peacemaking.
Right.
I think it's actually much more useful for this case and many others than just war. Because just war theory says it's appropriate to attack a military target that's attacking you so long as you try to avoid killing the civilians around. And, of course, the government claims, I think, honestly, that they're trying to avoid the civilians around. So the just war theory isn't really as sharp as a just peacemaking. Just peacemaking says what you've got to do is try to take initiatives. There are three I have in mind here. Well, there are 10 of them, but I want to mention, first of all, you've got to try to work to improve human rights for the people in the area. You see, what's happened is that, for example, during the Bush administration, they first of all had this declared permanent war on terrorists, which meant Muslim terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, war on Afghanistan. Thirdly, war on Iraq. And listen to these astounding numbers, Wilton. The war on Iraq began in 2003. That year, there were just 208 international terrorist attacks. But when the war started, and the other two were already declared and happening, 3,000 terrorist attacks the next year, from 208 up to 3,168. The following year, 2005, there were 11,111 international terrorist attacks. And then in 2006, it was 14,500. Each time, of course, the number of people killed by the terrorist attacks went up equally. And today's Los Angeles Times says that the United States is, according to polls, more unpopular in Pakistan, where we're doing a lot of these drone attacks, more unpopular there than in any other country. Because the Pakistanis really resent a violation of their human rights that the U.S. is using these drones to attack Pakistani people without permission, with direct opposition from the Pakistani government. So we've got to switch over from thinking the way to combat terrorism is by killing people in those very countries to rather a policy of trying to improve the human rights for the people in those countries,
right?
So that then we can get more support and also have the people feel that the United States is on the side of their human rights.
Yeah.
They don't think that now.
Tell us a little of how you came to this whole theory of just peacemaking as a better approach to this than the just war theory. That's historical and peacemaking and scriptural as well, isn't it?
Well, I was actually studying the Sermon on the Mount and other teachings of Jesus, and it's so clear that what Jesus teaches is not just what you should not do, like don't make this kind of war, but rather it's all about initiatives, about, you know, going the second mile, going to your brother and trying to talk it through and make peace, working on investing our treasures in justice and God's kingdom. They're all initiatives, praying for your enemy. Mm-hmm. They're all positive initiatives. And so I thought, well, that gee whiz, there must be a Christian ethic that just doesn't tell us what not to do, but that gives us the initiatives that work to make peace. And so it came out of my understanding of the gospel. It's about grace, mm-hmm. about initiatives. Furthermore, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't know the practices that make for peace. So I better get to work on trying to lay out what are these practices that are really working now to make for peace. I published two books, each called Just Peacemaking, and several other books have now come out. The newest one is Formation for Life, Just Peacemaking, and it's really spreading. President Obama endorsed all 10 practices of Just Peacemaking one by one in his Nobel Peace Award address, and now we got to press him to do it on this particular drone question.
Glenn, I can't help but think of this new technology as less of a 21st century triumph and more of a sign of utter failure. It's as if we've given up on the possibility of identifying threats on a human level and found a way to justify making the process as inhuman as possible. Is this a coward's way of waging war?
Well, you know, I don't want to totally attack President Obama. He rightly wanted to get out of the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war with our boots on the ground and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it was started by President George W. Bush, and he recommended the drone attacks to President Obama. I want to give President Obama some credit for trying to get out of the direct war. And the drone attacks are supposed to be more precise, but they miss a lot. And so they hit these civilians, and they create enormous hostility against the United States, which then makes more recruits for terrorism.
Yeah.
So I just want us to feel empowered that if we can work on human rights, and the second justice-making practice is helping to develop the sustainable and just economic development in those countries so they see some hope, they see some positive way to go, then we can decrease the hatred of the United States, decrease the recruitment of terrorism, and this actually works. We can be empowered if we really embody our U.S. tradition of human rights and of helping economic development. That's the way to reduce terrorism. Human rights actually first arose from a Baptist, Richard Overton, during the Puritan struggle for religious liberty. It was in 1647 that the Baptist Richard Overton wrote the first comprehensive doctrine of human rights. So human rights are really our baby as Christians. And we just had a conference at Fuller Seminary with Muslim and Christian speakers talking about how if we emphasize human rights, we can be empowered to reduce the hatred that leads to recruitment to terrorism. Actually, now the number of international terrorist attacks are coming down slightly because the administration is shifting more over to, you know, the kind of human rights emphasis that President Obama talked about in his Cairo address.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging our fellow Christians to nurture our baby, human rights. Here's the thing. In the U.S., there are almost no homegrown Muslim terrorists because Muslims in the United States are saying, we've got religious liberty, we've got pretty good human rights, we want to support this trend, and we want to discourage other Muslims around the world from terrorism. Instead, let's all together support human rights, and then we have a better way to go. So, you know, it's amazing if you think about it. Those Boston bombers, they were Russians. We just aren't producing homegrown Muslim terrorists because we're working on human rights. We got to do it more. But that's what I'm encouraging Christians to support.
I'm so glad. There are reports now that suggest that some of our military actions qualify as war crimes. But even if we accept that, it's discouraging to remember how universally humanity has abdicated any real call for accountability, at least in the past. So many of the killers in Nazi Germany escaped any consequences. Russia is led by a former KGB officer. Abu Ghraib was never really treated as a systemic moral failing, and the list goes on and on. Yeah. If we are to accept the frightening possibility that real accountability can only happen going forward, the human nature tends to prevent its application after the fact, what difference would that make in how we authorize, as a society, killing in our collective name?
We would need the policy of the government to become public so we can discuss it. The trouble about the drone attacks is they're so secret, so we really can't do our checks and balances. We would make it more in the open so we can discuss it. On the other side, as you were saying, it's an undermining of our ethics. Rick Warren said the torture, like in Abu Ghraib, is corrupting the soul of our nation, and I think he's right. But on the other hand, I want to point out, in the first half of the 20th century, last century, there were an average of 3.5 million people killed each year in war. But it dropped to 0.8 million in the second half of the 20th century because of these just peacemaking practices. And so the more we teach just peacemaking, get one of the books called Just Peacemaking, teach them in churches, get Christians to support practices of just peacemaking, and we reduce the killings, we reduce the hostility, and we reduce the terrorism.
Dr. Glenn Stassen is the author of numerous books, including Just Peacemaking, Transforming Initiatives for Justice and Peace, and most recently, A Thicker Jesus, Incarnational Discipleship in a Secular Age. Dr. Stassen is Louis B. Smead's Professor of Christian Ethics at Fuller Theological Seminary in California. Glenn, when this subject came up, I said Glenn Stassen is the one that needs to talk about this with us, and I am very grateful to you for taking time to talk with us and share the really powerful insights that you have shared. Thanks for doing that today on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks so much, Weldon. Great to talk with you.